let's bring in our political strategist for reaction to the Manafort sentencing and more. Simone Sanders, Democratic strategist, is with us. Hi, Simone.
Greetings.
And Alice Stewart, Republican strategist. Hi, Alice.
Hi, Jeremy. Great to be here.
Okay, so today, a lot of news for Paul Manafort, the former Trump campaign chairman. Another few years in prison for him right now, although he's waiting for a pardon from the president, which may or may not come. But then, after the sentencing, the Manhattan District Attorney indicted Manafort for residential mortgage fraud. This would be pardon proof because they are state charges. Alice, what does this mean for Paul Manafort?
This means that he is not going to see the light of day for a very, very long time, if ever again. And I have to say that justice has been served. And this is a man that has lived in his entire life of greed and opulence and unsavory activity. And I'm glad to see that the Justice Department and the justice system has taken decisive action on this. And even if a pardon does come down the road, it's encouraging to know that the legal system does have provisions to make sure that he continues to suffer and pay the consequences of his actions.
Well, Simone, what do you think this means? And do you think that the fact that maybe he's not going to be able to be pardoned, I mean, assuming the process moves forward as it is, and maybe he's convicted of these charges, that may make him cooperate more with Mueller?
Well, perhaps. You know, Trump has a long history with Paul Manafort. As everyone knows, he was a key member of Trump's inner circle in 2016, played a very important role in his campaign. So Paul Manafort can still be pardoned for the federal crimes. Now, depending on what happens with the Manhattan DA, that is, in fact, something entirely different. So I think there is a factor. Look, Paul Manafort is an older gentleman. He pleaded in court today. I was talking with reporters that were in the courtroom. He pleaded in court and said, you know, he wanted to live out the rest of his days with his wife. He didn't want to be separated from his wife. But I think that this is a case study in the inequities, actually, in the criminal justice system. And, you know, just last year, there was a woman who erroneously voted in Texas that got more time than Paul Manafort did last week and this week combined. And so I think this just goes to show that criminal justice reform is absolutely needed, and white-collar crimes are definitely treated differently than other crimes throughout the country.
I want to talk about impeachment a little bit. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi told the Washington Post that she is not for impeaching the president. It's not worth it, she said. I wonder how rancorous this issue is inside the party, Simone.
Yeah, you know, it's no secret that there are lots of grassroots groups in the Democratic Party that make up, that fuel the oil that is that fuel the machine that is the Democratic Party apparatus, that believe the president has engaged in misconduct that could be an impeachable offense. Now, I want to remind folks that an impeachable offense, someone once said, is anything that the House of Representatives decides it is at any given point in time in history. I think what you heard from Speaker Pelosi in the interview with the Washington Post was not anything much different than what she has previously said. The rest of that quote, she goes on to talk about if they're waiting to hear what the Mueller investigation turns up, waiting to see if there is, in fact, something that would absolutely hamper folks on Capitol Hill, both Democrats and Republicans, to the point where they have to act because it is their duty to exercise oversight. Is the grassroots happy with the language Speaker Pelosi used, though? I would venture to say no.
I think the key takeaway in her comments with regard to that is that, in her view, she may be giving other Democrats cover by saying it's just simply not worth it, even though they can make the efforts to go after the president. And they can say, well, House Speaker Pelosi is recommending against it. But the key word in her comments there was, unless there's something compelling, overwhelming, and bipartisan. Bipartisan is the key. You're going to be very hard-pressed to find Republicans that will go along with any kind of impeachment actions, given certainly their support for the president, and not the least of which the frustration and the divide it will cause in this country. So trying to get bipartisan support for any kind of proceedings like that will be next to impossible.
I mean, I'd just like to know, Alice is absolutely right. But impeachment is a mechanism that is built into the fabric of our country. It is a way in which Congress is supposed to hold the president accountable. And so one could argue, and I think many grassroots and progressive folks are arguing, that it's not about what is popular. It's not about if it's bipartisan. It's about what's right in terms of oversight. So we'll see what happens.
Alice, as a Republican strategist, I wonder if you can tell us if you think Republicans are being hypocritical then when they brush off allegations of lies and hush money and payments and obstruction of justice surrounding President Trump after they impeached President Clinton.
There is some hypocrisy. You can't deny that. But at the end of the day, what we're looking at right now are allegations. We have not proven that. The key with the hush money payments for women, it certainly doesn't sit well with a lot of evangelicals. But in terms of it being something that is proven to be a campaign finance violation, which is the more serious concern from a legislative and political and a voter standpoint, we haven't met that threshold yet. So until that turns out to be the case, Republicans are right to continue to stand firm on their position that it's certainly not an impeachable offense and actions that this president has done. It might be uncomfortable for many to listen to and to understand and explain to their children. But in terms of it being something that's impeachable, it's not there yet.
Okay, let's talk about 2020, because there's a lot of news in that race this week, starting with the person who seems to be rising to the top of the conversation right now, and that would be Joe Biden, the former vice president. He spoke yesterday to the International Association of Firefighters. Now, remember, he's not a candidate yet for president, but he sounded like one. Here he is talking about the 9/11 attacks.
It sent a signal to the world. You can knock us down, but you can never beat us. Never, never, never beat us. Think about it. You know?
They're saying, run, Joe, run. You can hear them cheering. Simone, what will it mean if Biden gets into the race, and do you think he will?
It means that there will be yet another candidate who believes they should be the Democratic nominee and the next president of the United States of America. Look, I think Vice President Joe Biden will get in. I think there are a lot of signs that are leaning that way. I think there's a lot of folks that would love to see him in the race. And if the vice president enters the race, he will, in fact, be a formidable candidate. But with so many folks in the race, with not a clear, I'm somebody that believes that there is not actually a clear front runner. There are folks that have high name ID, but it's still too early to tell. So with so many folks in the race, it will be very important to hit the ground running for all of the candidates to make their case directly to the people, not just in the first four states, but in places like Jackson, Mississippi, where you saw Senator Kamala Harris yesterday, and I do believe Senator Warren going on Monday, and places all across the country. And the first debates, I think, is where we will get to see where the chips are actually mm-hmm. falling and how the candidates are shaking.
And Alice, there's another candidate who's not in the race that I just want to ask you. Does Beto O'Rourke, the former Texas congressman, scare you as a candidate in 2020 if he gets in?
Not from a general election standpoint. Look, Beto O'Rourke and many of these other candidates that are in are hook, line, and sinker the typecast of a Democratic candidate for the primary. We have Biden out front by 7 points in the polling averages, ahead of Sanders, Harris, Warren, Booker, O'Rourke, Klobuchar, and the others. But what we have here is a field of candidates that are so far left that it's going to be a battle for the left in order to win the primary. But their goal, and if I was advising Democrats, which I certainly would not, they need to find someone that will actually win the general as well. And I think someone like Biden, being a more moderate candidate, would be more successful. Look, right now we're all looking at who can battle it out to win the Democratic primary, but the general election candidate and finding the right person to be that person is the real challenge. I think O'Rourke is a strong candidate. He did a fantastic job in Texas against Senator Cruz. But at the end of the day, he can't just be the Democratic candidate to win the nomination. They have to be a more moderating voice to win a general.
Look, I'd like to remind folks that in 2016, the difference between Donald Trump being president and Hillary Clinton being president was 100,000 votes across Michigan, Wisconsin, and Pennsylvania. 100,000 votes. In 2018, in the midterm elections, Democrats did very well in Michigan, Wisconsin, and a little, we did a little bit better. We have some work still to do in Pennsylvania. So I am someone that believes that the 2020 presidential race, regardless of who the Democratic nominee is, that person and Democrats in the general election will have to be laser focused on being authentic with their message, but also speaking directly to the base. Things like health care, things like protecting Medicare and Medicaid, Social Security, those are things that some people might call radical, but everyday regular American people, places like Omaha, Nebraska, where I'm from, think are pretty important. And so if you are able to speak directly to the base, if you campaign everywhere and close the margins in some places like Appalachia, where they might not really break for the Democratic candidate, but you have to go out there and close the margins. I think Democrats could be successful in the 2020 general election.
It would also be helpful if the Democrats learned a lesson from 2016 that presidential candidates and presidential races are won by electoral college and not by popular vote. Note to the Democratic Party, campaign an electoral college campaign, and it's certainly a much more winning strategy than popular vote.
We should say the former,
I want folks to campaign everywhere, everywhere.
The former House Speaker Paul Ryan said that some Democrats could indeed beat Donald Trump in 2020 if Trump wins on personality alone. Alice, what do you think?
Trump, I think, has a tremendous chance regardless of who the candidate is. The economy's good. He's popular. He just has to broaden his base quite a bit, and he has the power of the incumbency, which goes a long way to beating someone that doesn't have that advantage.
That is Alice Stewart, a Republican strategist, and Simone Sanders, a Democratic strategist from Omaha, Nebraska, just like Warren Buffett, not quite as rich. Thanks to both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.